I'm off my game today.
No, you're not.
That's true.
People are going to have to start making better content.
I think we're going to be talking about this for a long time.
When you program for everyone, you program for no one.
I think it's that we're a purpose-driven platform. Like, we're trying to get to substance. How was that? Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
This is marketing therapy right now.
It really is. Yeah.
What's up? I'm Laura Carenti.
And I'm Alexa Kristen. Welcome back to Adlandia. So one of the things Laura and I have always talked about is, why don't people just ask more questions?
Right. We are super obsessed with the why. And I think a lot of the work that we have focused on over the course of our time working together and the things that we always point to and say, yes, that's the thing, has been what I think bleeds into culture. And you can tell when people really take their time with wrapping context and putting work into the market that integrates seamlessly versus lives adjacent to.
And I think as marketers, we forget to like kind of ask ourselves that question of like, why? What motivates me?
Right.
What excites me?
Right.
And putting that into your work and actually asking questions about the work. It's funny, I sit with a lot of people now who are writing a lot of like marketing copy. And I always ask, would you read this? Would you actually read
this? It's a great, simple question.
It's a simple question. And you know what the answer is?
How many times?
No, they're like,
yeah.
No. I'm like, well, then we got to go rewrite it.
I mean, two of the key things that I think we've heard over the last few episodes, I think stemming back to Josh Sternberg being on the show, you know, as somebody who's watching the market as a reporter over Adweek, to, you know, Cody and Mike Tong, two young guys who left the agency world to build their own thing. There's these piecemeal signals, right? And two of the biggest trends that I think we're seeing are the idea of like being able to bring your whole self to the table, allowing all of the inputs and influences in your life to affect your creativity.
And call that data, by the way.
Right. Right. And then the other
is really about asking the simple questions, like questioning it. And I think what we're going to hear from our next guest is allowing yourself to imagine and allowing yourself to kind of like go down a road where you start with a simple question actually can lead to bigger and cooler and smarter and more impactful work than it is when we have something in a nice little clean box that we've put together, either whether it's a brief or a media plan or something. Ask what isn't there.
Yeah, the blue sky thinking.
We can all talk about thinking this way, but it's really about behavior. It's how we start training our brains. I think our next guest, Brad Grossman, who's the founder of Zeitguide, really has been training C-level executives to think like a Hollywood producer, to dream, to let their minds kind of go down and pull in a ton of data, but use their gut and their heart to lead them to what really makes sense.
And my hope is that that then trickles down through organizations, because I think some of these young people making these decisions in the weeds are in search of those sorts of inputs that go far beyond an index or a data point.
Or something, as Beth Comstock has always said, they feel like permission's granted.
On that note, we'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. Over this nine-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back in the studio with Brad Grossman,
the founder and CEO of Zeitguide, the oracle to the industry. Welcome.
Wow. God. Okay.
I know,
that's
who's a big...
the oracle to me?
Who is the oracle to you?
You guys.
It's Brad. All right.
Brad, welcome
now we're
to the
talking.
Show. So what is the Zeitguide, and how did you become the Zeitguide to the Zeitgeist?
Okay. Zeitguide means guide to the Zeitgeist. Okay?
Got it.
Zeitgeist, which many people don't know what the real meaning is of it, but Zeitgeist means spirit of the times in German. What the Zeitguide is basically we guide super busy executives on what they need to know so that they can lead themselves towards what's next.
So you're the coach.
The Zeitgeist coach.
Got it.
Yes. We guide them through our constantly changing culture so they're best prepared for the future. Yeah, my brother's a business guy, so he makes me kind of say that stuff. He's one of my partners.
Tell us, okay. Because it's an unlikely story, okay, about how Zeitguide and how you became the Zeitguide coach for the Zeitgeist. And it has to do with Hollywood. You were in Hollywood.
Yes. Well, to tell you the truth, I started this company after doing what I do now for other leaders and helping them understand what's outside their company walls. I did it for the Oscar Award winning and Emmy Award winning producer, Brian Grazer.
Who's a really good friend of yours now.
He's a very good friend of mine. Yes.
He produces some stuff. And did you grow up together? How do you know Brian?
Oh, God, you're even going further back. I actually was, now that I'm like a tutor to C-suite executives, I was a chemistry tutor to high school kids in Los Angeles. And I started this little tutoring company called Institutor. And then one day I get a call from...
I feel like there was like some logo on like a geo tracker. Through L.A.
Oh
like,
my God,
Institutor!
That's so funny because my logo... Well, that's... Oh my God!
Right?
Yeah, well, I modeled after Charles and Charles Meets the Nanny, right? So, and I was a delight to, you know, all the parents of my clients... who were students, who happened to be from the Hollywood establishment. And yes, I had this little Volkswagen convertible and my logo had me in the convertible with sunglasses on with the horn honking and said toot toot.
Seriously?
I swear.
Oh, my God.
That's amazing.
How about that?
Yeah, there you go. Great marketing.
I'm in marketing.
Was it a cabriolet?
It totally was.
Oh, my God. I so wanted that car in high school. But anyway, they don't make it anymore.
They called it a cabrio then.
Yeah, cabrio.
Right. Yeah, in... What year was this? 2002. I was tutoring some of the sons and daughters of Brian Grazer's friends, and he heard about me. And after 3 years of building this company, I get this phone call from Brian Grazer's office, and they're like, hi, this is, I think his assistant at that point was Miguel. Hi, this is Miguel from Brian Grazer's office, and I'd love to set up a meeting between you and Brian Grazer. And I'm like, really? And, you know, does he want me to tutor his kid? And I said, and they said, no, he just wants to meet you. He loves doing this thing. He loves meeting with interesting people who are outside his industry. And he heard that you're a great tutor. And I'm like, wow, okay, well, I'll come in and see him. And so I walk into his office, and he's like, there's Brad Grossman, the tutor to the stars. And I'm like, wow, that's generous. And he's like, I don't want you to tutor my daughter. I want you to tutor me. And I'm like, in what? You know, he's like, well, what do you tutor? I'm like, I do calculus. I do chemistry. He's like, chemistry? Really? And he takes out this periodic table from behind a sofa that Oliver Sacks gave him. And I basically taught him what the periodic table was. You know, Brian was really awesome in the sense that, you know, he is a self-proclaimed dyslexic. And he said that, you know, the only thing he learned in school was that he couldn't learn in school. Mm-hmm. So he wanted this kind of what's called a curiosity tutor, and just to kind of teach him about the world and help him get outside the Hollywood bubble.
Curiosity tutor.
That is so
that
cool.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
And everyone should have or
you should
become.
That should be your title. Forget
curiosity,
the Zeit Coach.
Yeah.
Well, no,
curiosity tutor. How long did you work with Brian Grazer tutoring him, being the curiosity tutor?
The curiosity tutor.
And was that like your solo gig?
It was my solo gig. It was like my life. I did it for 5 years.
So how did you pivot? Like, what was the sort of moment you're like, done this thing for 5 years, like amazing opportunity, but there's clearly something bigger that I could be doing here. Like, did you have a moment? Was it a long drawn out business plan? Like, what was it?
Two things. One, I didn't want to be a movie producer. So, and, you know, so there was no reason for me to stay in that position. I realized that I've always had a career in terms of education, but educating people in a way that inspires them. That's why I call myself a Zeitgeist coach instead of a tutor, because like I'm more of a coach.
Right.
Right. I didn't call myself a chemistry tutor. I call myself an academic coach because my job is to help you reach your full potential. And I just thought that what I did for Brian, I could do for other people. At first, I was meeting with a lot of people and telling them what my idea was to work with people in every single vertical, so to speak. And they're like, are you kidding me? Like, go back to Hollywood. That job doesn't exist.
You went from and are going from just giving people information to actually teaching them how to think.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So people are pulling you into their organizations and you're actually teaching C-level executives how to think and then how to train their teams to think.
They don't really have time to really sit and think and brainstorm with a person who is outside of the chaos.
The chaos of their daily lives and the chaos of the industry.
Or how their companies are being disrupted.
Yeah.
You know, it's they could strategize with the geniuses inside and they could hire a bunch of consultants to kind of come in and advise them what to do. But very few of them have the time to just kind of like think like a science fiction writer with somebody who is very multidisciplinary like me and my team.
So what is curious? So that's really interesting, like thinking like a science fiction writer or a filmmaker or a creator.
Yeah, like I got taught how to think like a movie producer,
yeah,
right, in the movie business. And that's basically thinking in a way that is so blue sky that anything can happen from
because
an
it
alien
can.
Take.
Yeah.
And what we're realizing now is that anything can happen. I mean, and anything that happens now has more impact on the world and business than anything that has ever happened before. It's any black swan event that, you know, everything's happening so quickly and we're so connected. And at the core, media impacts culture, right? And now that social media is causing more media to be out there and connecting to more people, just more things are happening that you never really thought that would be expected at a much faster rate.
Right, right.
So
the thing you just said around media impacting culture, right? So obviously is this show talking to brand marketers and agency folk and creative types who are creating the messaging that sits adjacent to that media or using that pipe to disseminate, you know, thoughts and provocations and all of the things that we do as marketers. Is it fair to say, and curious to get your take as a zeitgeist coach, tutor, guru, do brands nowadays have more or less influence in the market? We're seemingly consuming more and more and more. But at the same time, it feels that consumers are equally skeptic.
I think consumers have more power than ever before. Now, more than ever, consumers are shaping businesses because they're just not going to buy anything that they're selling to you unless they actually want it. And there's so much information out there that the brands don't have the direct, not only do they not have the direct line to them, they also, their messaging is being crowded out by everything else that's in. I've worked at Goldman Sachs. I've worked with Unilever. I worked with Disney. I work with Fox, Sony, GE. Yes. Beth Comstock. Nickelodeon. I've worked with,
What is the key to curiosity? Like, how does a curious person behave?
No ego. Excited about learning. Knowing that they don't know. Not going to the most obvious source for the answer. Not even having direction sometimes. And not even having a plan. I tell my clients that they should just like have one day, which is almost impossible, to just go on a learning journey. You know,
what would that look like for like a Beth Comstock, a Disney executive? What does that look like?
What I say that to them is that write on a piece of paper every single question that you've been having or been thinking about that you don't really know the answer to. That's one part of the process. The other part of the process is, you know, get all the material, all the emails, and basically just see like what your gut is really, you know, connecting to. Like, I think we're all curious right now subconsciously, right? But I think you have to be curious consciously as well.
I love that.
First of all, you have to admit that you don't know something. And if you don't know something, you shouldn't feel bad about it.
You know, I think we do a lot in this industry. Mm-hmm. I think that we have a lot of questions that we don't actually allow ourselves to ask. Like, you don't actually stop and say, I have a question about that. Why doesn't that make sense?
I got this
media plan. Like, how many people have said, I got this media plan. And someone says, well, what about it? And they're like, I don't know. I didn't ask. Why?
Well, I think that's a tremendous distinction in the marketplace of people focused on transactional media versus creative media. Mm-hmm. And I think ultimately at the end of the day, people are judging things on face value and rate cards and things that have finite definitions or an understanding of the way the market works. And then I think the difference of other people's work is what you just said, pushing
actually isn't finite. Like, right. A rate card isn't fucking finite.
Right. But I do think that is a distinct difference. What I think is interesting too, and I think it is a sign of some of the leaders that I've enjoyed are the people who are comfortable knowing what they don't know. And they surround themselves with people who can help input those answers so that they can come to a more informed decision. And I think seeing that offering, it's interesting. Just as you're talking, I'm spending a lot of time right now looking at tools and resources and inputs that help make us better marketers and specifically better media planners. And frustrating thing is so many of the tools and resources that are currently available do everything but provide context and culture. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering if you're not onto something. We also had Pierce Fox on the show at PSFK, mm-hmm. and you know, all of this different trend spotting and these signals and the fact that, you know, you're sort of contained right now in the C-suite. Like, I want to see the Zeit coach unleashed to the area of the market where I think it's so desperately needed, and that's at the people making some of these these daily decisions.
Because we know that companies are amass a lot of data, a lot of data. You know, that they're going to be starting to donate their data for good. In the, like, the United Nations, anybody who's researching the impact of
AIDS, of anything, frankly, anything.
I think it's more about solving big global problems and where corporations could use that data, not just to help their consumers, but to help their consumers that are just citizens of the world.
I love that. Yeah. So should we get into our game?
Yes. Brad, it's time.
Kill by DIY.
If you could kill anything, what would it be?
Bullying and hate. Yeah.
But I'm down with that.
What would you buy if you could buy anything?
Love and peace.
Right. And what would you do yourself that somebody else may be doing that you want to build?
A yoga instructor.
Nice.
So, Brad, if people want to get in touch with you, ask you more about the Zeitgeist, how do they get in touch with you?
Ask you about the Zeitgeist and get your coaching.
Yeah. Well, they could go to zeitguide.com. Again, Zeit is ZEITGUIDE. Zeit meaning time in German, to help you remember it. Guide like TV guide, which, you know, doesn't exist anymore, or does it? So zeitguide.com, and I'm also at Bragro.
Love it. Well, Brad, thank you. It's
thank
been fun
you so
having
much, Brad.
You.
Thanks. This was really fun.
So thank you to Brad Grossman, the CEO of Zeitgut. A big thanks to our family and friends at Panoply.
Matt Turk, Andy Bowers, Jacob Weisberg. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
See you, Adlandia.
Full disclosure, our opinions are our own.